This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Welcome back to the program as we launch into hour two. It's Kelly and Ramya. Ramya away for the next few days. Grant Hardy sitting in with me. He's out in Vancouver. I'm at the home studio in London, Ontario. And wherever you are, whenever you are, checking out the show, thank you kindly. First repeat on AMI Audio and AMI TV of the program at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on AMI Audio at 6 a.m. in the morning, and on AMI TV, you can find us on at 3 a.m. in the morning across Canada. Grant and I would like to welcome in Mary Mammoliti, because on Thursdays, we get cooking with Mary Mammoliti of KitchenConfession.com.
If you're like me, the kitchen is your favorite room in the house. I'm Mary Mammoliti, here with a handful of goodies from my kitchen, including food trends, cooking tips, and of course, some delicious recipes.
And you know we're going to have all of that kind of discussion for you, so just hang in here, folks, but I want you to think about some stuff for me. How many times a day do you turn to Google to solve some of life's questions? You know, that search engine is the go-to place for all our how-to questions, from recipe searches to what is Taylor Swift's net worth. Has Corinne Van Dusen been writing our intros for the show? What the heck? Mary took a deep dive into Google users' search habits, and today she's here with some of the answers to some of the most Googled food questions. Wow. Mary, welcome back.
It is great to be back.
Always fun. And this is one of those, and I'm sure for you, really fun one segments to put together. So your first question that you want us to talk about, should I rinse canned beans?
Yeah, surprisingly enough, this was one of the top questions that people have Googled. And here's when and why that recipes may tell you to rinse canned beans. One of the primary reasons for draining and rinsing beans or any canned food is to simply remove some of that excess salt. So draining and rinsing, it removes not all, but some of that sodium that's in locked in there in the canned fruit or beans or vegetables, whatever it is. The other consideration is texture. So if you're adding the liquid plus the bean to a recipe, that equals more liquid than the recipe actually calls for, or even more salt for that matter. So especially if you're trying to make something crunchy, like roasted chickpeas, you want to remove that liquid. Yes. You want to rinse it. You might even want to give them a little pat down with paper towel. The drier, the better for that. So that's why they ask for it. You can use the liquid with the beans and recipes, just adjust the recipe for the amount of liquid and salt that you're adding. That's it.
Okay. Makes sense, though.
It does. It absolutely does.
Even if you're not hating on the salt in there.
I think we are a little bit after the last segment here. We're a little more wary about salt.
Yeah,
I'm a little salty after the bus. Just kidding. I'm really curious about this one. This is the type of thing I might Google and then pretend I'm so smart for knowing this, even though I had to look it up first. How can you tell if an egg is bad?
This is a really common one. Okay, so the simple answer to this one is you'll be able to smell it right away. So if you're not sure whether an egg has gone bad, crack it into a shallow bowl, a dish, something not straight into your cooking, because you want to be able to give it a little sniff test. And believe me, trust me, you'll know if something's not right with that egg. Alternatively, if you want a hard-boiled eggs and you just want to make sure that they're still okay, do the float test. So drop an egg gently, mind you, into a bowl of cold water. If it sinks, it's fine. If it floats or if it stands on the side, it's more likely to have gone off or bad, or at least it's very old, right? So what ends up happening is when an egg ages, air builds up inside the shell, and that's what makes it float.
Do you remember this as a kid? in class, in science class, when they'd make you do this, because that was the big thing. And that's why I can totally see that it would be Googled so much, because people probably think, is that, you know, crap? Is that true or what? But I totally remember being one of the earliest cooking things I ever learned, as a matter of fact. You know, use the water. Okay, Mary, how do you cook rice without a rice cooker?
Okay, so this one. Simple rule of thumb, use 2 parts of water to 1 part rice. So 2 cups water, 1 part rice, 1 cup rice.
Okay.
It's the perfect amount for a serving of 4. And my family may be serving 2. I don't know. Just saying.
Honesty, the best policy here.
I gotta keep it real because I thought 4. Yeah, maybe. If I stretch it. But now, like, to cook the rice. So this is a little different. So you want to put the rice in the water into a medium or large pot. I'd go with a little larger pot with a tight fitting lid. So this is really important. You don't want to skimp on this. You want to make sure that the lid is tight because you don't want any steam to escape. That steam helps us in this cooking process. So bring everything to a boil, reduce the heat, lower it to a simmer, and then cover it completely with the lid, and then cook. So the rice will take about 10 minutes, 10 minutes, a little more, a little less, but I don't want you to peek. I know I'm saying a little more, a little less. Let the 10 minutes go by. Don't peek. You don't want any of that steam to escape. So no peeking.
Because that'll just add on cooking time. Is that why?
Well, exactly. And you want the most fluffy rice Even out of too. This. So the steam helps that.
Yeah.
Right. So then give it a few minutes more. If there's some rice, if there's some water remaining in the pot, and then turn off the heat, let it sit for a couple of minutes. You want it to finish absorbing because usually there's just a little bit of water left at the bottom. So by letting it sit there off the heat, it'll absorb that remaining liquid, remove the lid, give it another minute to kind of dry off the rice a little bit, and then fluff it with a fork. Done. Or get a rice cooker. But that's the stovetop method.
I mean, there are so many random, you know, electric this, electric that, machine for this, machine for that, when sometimes we can just simplify it and do it all. I mean, that sounds easier than... Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you don't have the space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yep. Okay, let's move on to some other let me Google that for you questions. How do you peel a pineapple?
So peeling a pineapple, this one's interesting. So let me start with how to test if a pineapple is ripe. Do either of you, have you ever done a ripeness test on a pineapple?
No, I've peeled, but only recently I was taught.
Okay, so to test if a pineapple is ripe, pull one of the leaves from the center of the crown of the pineapple. If it pops out easily, then it's ready, it's ripe, and it's juicy and sweet, and it's ready to enjoy. Not a cutting it. So cut the pineapple. You want to slice off the crown of leaves at the top of the pineapple, lay it on its side, cut off the bottom, and then you want to leave that flat base. Then stand the pineapple on the flat end. Either one will do, and then use a large, sharp knife. Cut away the skin by slicing down from the top to the bottom in strips. Then finally lay that pineapple on its side and then slice it into about 1/2-inch rounds. That's it.
Okay. Right. What a way to enjoy it. Oh, pineapple, just beautiful. Okay. This is one that we had a discussion recently with. We even made poor Andy Frank weigh in on this one. How long to boil eggs perfectly?
Okay, so this one, I laugh every time I hear this question because everyone's got their tried and true method. Everyone swears by the way they boil or hard boil their eggs. I like a jammy egg. So that's hard boiled with just a little bit on the inside of that gooiness. It's just so good. So for the perfect jammy egg, this is my trick or my tip. Fill a pot with enough water to cover the eggs and then leave about 1 inch to spare right on top of the egg. On medium heat, you want to bring that water to a gentle boil using a spoon, or if you're using a deep fryer basket, something to lower the eggs right into the boiling water. You want to gently lower them in and then set a timer for 6.5 minutes. That's it. No more, no less, 6.5. Remove it from the heat, run the eggs under cold water or transfer them to a bowl of ice water just to cool them down. and peel them. That's it. They're done. They're perfect every time.
Nice. Yeah, I used to love them. Again, I wasn't so fuzzy, but it was one of the earliest things I learned and how much I liked and strive to get that perfectly done egg.
And like I said, everyone's got their own method, but this one here has never failed me for the perfect jammy egg.
Well, my cooking methods are asking my Amazon assistant or Googling it and then doing whatever they say. So I will take your method. I think it's probably superior to mine.
That's right. It's Google. Mary Google.
Mary Google.
Right, exactly.
As soon as you say Mary Google, I'll pop up on your Google. Hi.
Yeah. Here's what you do. You should create your own little skill there for the Amazon. Getting a little short on time here. Really quickly, how do we boil corn on the cob and for how long?
Okay, corn on the cob, easy, easy peasy. Pop it into water, into a pot of water, and then cook it for 4 to 5 minutes. That's it. The kernels turn bright yellow. They get crisp, tender, juicy, good to go. Using tongs, because remember it's hot, remove them from the hot water, place them into a platter, serve warm. You want to avoid cooking them for a little too long or overcooking them because, honestly, fresh corn, if you didn't know, you could actually eat it raw if you wanted to. Overcooking the corn, it gives it this chewy kind of firm kernel. Like right now I'm making this face like, ugh. But it's not bad. It's edible. It's just not enjoyable.
Okay. Mayor, I want to get into bacon very quickly. How to cook crispy bacon in the oven.
In the oven, my favorite way to do it, 400 degrees Celsius, line your rim baking sheet with some foil, and then lay your strips of bacon out into a single layer. Bake that for about 15 to 20 minutes. That's it. Put them onto a paper-lined plate to drain some of that fat off. And then if you're stacking them, you always want a single layer. So if you're stacking them on top of one another, put a piece of paper towel in between while you place the next layer of bacon.
Okay.
That's it. Fantastic. Crisp bacon.
Awesome. That's where we those who like crisp bacon.
No splatter. But
that's a subject for another story, and definitely no splatter. My gosh. We'll save asparagus, too, for maybe a random throw that in. Mayor, thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mary Mammoliti with us to begin the second hour of Kelly and Rumya on Thursdays. Check out Mary's discussions and recipes on kitchenconfession.com and find the Kitchen Confession podcast by simply doing a search and subscribing. Absolutely love it, folks. Up next, we check in with Abby and Skylar, two students from the W. Ross McDonald School, and they're in the communications class. They're going to be highlighting upcoming Celebration Day events and a fun new drama that'll be on that day that they're going to do sound design for. Conversation with them after this.
Don't go away. There's more great conversation with Kelly and Rumya right around the corner.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.